you're twice as sure with two great names, Frigidaire and General Motors. Frigidaire brings you Hollywood Star Time. Today we present The House on 92nd Street, starring members of the original picture cast, Lloyd Nolan, Sidney Hasso, Reed Hadley, and William Ike. Each week at this time, Frigidaire brings you direct from Hollywood, radio versions of the finest motion pictures with Hollywood's greatest stars. Today, Hollywood Star Time presents a radio production of the spectacular 20th Century Fox picture, The House on 92nd Street. 20th Century Fox also are producers of Somewhere in the Night, which soon may be seen starring Lloyd Nolan, John Hodiak, and Nancy Guild. Now, in just a moment or so, The House on 92nd Street. Frigidaire, the greatest name in refrigeration, is made only by General Motors. And it is this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, that makes Frigidaire America's favorite refrigerator today. The 7 million Frigidaires built and sold are the best proof of Frigidaire's outstanding record of dependability, of lasting satisfaction. For back of every great refrigeration principle pioneered by Frigidaire, back of every exciting new Frigidaire feature, back of every exclusive Frigidaire advantage, is one all-important purpose: to keep food good to eat. Remember this when you choose your new refrigerator. Remember the record of millions of Frigidaires in millions of American kitchens. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Now we present The House on 92nd Street, starring Lloyd Nolan, Sidney Hasso, and William Ike, featuring another brilliant musical score composed and conducted by Alfred Newman. Reed Hadley will be our narrator.
Federal Bureau of Investigation is the implacable foe of all enemies of the United States. In the entire history of espionage and counter-espionage, there is no record more spectacular than the story of William Dietrich, a young American diesel engineer born in Minneapolis of German-American parents, a likely recruit for service as a Nazi spy, except he had already offered his services to the FBI and had been accepted. Shortly before America entered the war, this young American stood before the desk of a certain Felix Strasser in Hamburg, Germany, receiving final instructions.
Herr Dietrich, while here in Germany, you have received the most thorough schooling in the art of sabotage and espionage. You have been an apt student.
Thank you, Herr Colonel.
You will return to America via Cologne and Madrid to Lisbon. There you will board a freighter for New York.
I understand.
Your first objective will be to set up a secret radio station there. You will be a center of communication on which we shall rely very heavily.
I realize my responsibility, Herr Colonel.
In arriving in New York, you will present yourself at once to a certain Miss Elsa Gebhardt. She operates a smart dress shop in a stone house on 92nd Street, between Park and Madison Avenue. Elsa Gebhardt will supply you with information. Transmit all information exactly as you receive it.
I understand.
Make no effort to learn the identities of our other agents. The less you know about each other, the better. Mark that.
Yes, sir, Colonel.
Here on my cushion are your credentials. Place them in the back of your wristwatch.
I know.
There is one thing more. If you ever receive orders from a Mr. Christopher, abandon anything you are doing and place yourself immediately at his disposal.
Mr. Christopher?
Yeah. But make no attempt to learn who he is. Clear?
Quite clear.
Good. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
Within a few days, William Dietrich was in Lisbon, Portugal, crossroads of international espionage, and complaining to a jeweler, also an FBI operative, that his watch was out of order.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll have to examine it.
Oh, yes. Would you please? I'll wait.
The watchmaker opened a drawer and dropped Bill Dietrich's watch into it, took out an exact duplicate, and brought it to Bill.
I'm sorry, sir. I won't be able to repair this watch.
Oh, I understand. Thanks very much.
A few hours later, the original watch was on a transatlantic clipper bound for New York. The next day, it was in FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. Dietrich's credentials, printed on microfilm, were being projected on a screen in one of the FBI darkrooms. A certain Inspector Briggs of the FBI watched the screen closely.
It's in German. Translate it for me, will you, Goldmark?
Well, it reads, William Dietrich is authorized to receive all reports for radio transmission to Germany. Mm-hmm. And second, he is forbidden to have contact with any agents known to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now change that last line. Make it read, he is authorized to contact all agents known to you. You got it?
Got it.
I'll meet Dietrich at the customs house when his freighter docks in 3 weeks and swap watches with him again. And then, with those altered credentials, he can really go to work for us.
Posing as a customs officer, Inspector Briggs managed to slip Dietrich his original watch with the changed credentials. A little later, Dietrich presented himself at Elsa Gebhardt's smart dress shop in the fine old brownstone house on 92nd Street. And the deadly game was on.
Yes? May I help you?
I'm Bill Dietrich.
I was expecting you.
I have a message for you from Felix.
You mean Felix Brahm or Miami, of course?
No, I mean Felix Strasser of Hamburg, Germany.
Oh.
He asked me to pay his respects and to give you this, my credentials on microfilm.
Wait here, please.
Thanks.
Bill Dietrich, will you come in, please?
Oh, yes. Thanks.
This back room is my office. These are my assistants. This is Bill Dietrich. Matt, Johanna, Conrad.
Hello?
Where have you come from?
Germany, of course.
Where in Germany?
Hamburg.
How did you get here?
I came by freighter.
From Hamburg?
No, from Lisbon.
When did you leave Lisbon?
3 weeks ago.
Who did you contact in Lisbon?
No one.
Are you sure of that?
Certainly I'm sure. Mr. Gebhardt, didn't you show these people my credentials?
Yes. They're annoyed and surprised because you're authorized to contact all agents known to us. Worse. It's dangerous.
Well, those are the orders.
All right. What's your job, Mr. Dietrich?
Well, Hamburg needs a faster way of getting information to Germany. I'm going to set up a shortwave radio station, and, well, I'll need radio parts.
Conrad will get them for you.
I'd like to get started as soon as possible.
Yes?
Well, you'll hear from me soon.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I don't like you. What do you think, Elsa? I don't know, Johanna. He's good credentials, but...
I don't trust him.
We won't take any chances, Max. I'll check with Hamburg to confirm these credentials.
How?
We can get a letter to Brazil by mail. A messenger takes it by a Italian airline to Dakar in Africa. It's simple from there. I won't be sure about Dietrich until we hear from Hamburg.
Bill Dietrich set up his radio station in an abandoned shack outside of New York on Long Island. The Germans in Hamburg complimented him on his efficiency and the clarity of his messages, not knowing that his signal, which had a range of less than 100 miles, was being picked up by a powerful FBI station, decoded and then relayed across the Atlantic Ocean. Not knowing that the FBI censored and modified all the information that Bill Dietrich radioed to Hamburg, Germany. Then one day in May 1941, an accident occurred near New York's Gramercy Square. An accident that was to have vastly important meanings for every human being on Earth. A swarthy, foreign-looking man began to cross the street against the red light. A taxi driver shouted and jammed on his brakes.
Well, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Inspector Briggs speaking. Are you certain? Has the letter been decoded? No. I see. All right. Set up a conference with Army and Navy intelligence immediately. Immediately. That's all. Gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gentlemen, yesterday a man was run down in New York traffic. Now, among his effects was a perfectly innocent personal letter written in Spanish. But he had a small notebook containing data concerning incendiary bullets, so the hospital in turn became suspicious and he called the FBI. We subjected the letter to the usual treatment for discovering invisible writing, and between the lines appeared a message in German and in code. Now, the letter, gentlemen, reads, in my unsteady German, Herr Christoph will sich auf Prozess 97 konzentrieren.
What?
Translated, that means Mr. Christopher will concentrate on Process 97.
Process 97?
Yes.
How do they even know of its existence?
Do you know what Process 97 is, Inspector?
No, sir, we don't, Admiral.
Gentlemen, although I cannot reveal the nature of the new experiments, I can say that the military application of the principles involved can be devastating beyond all human imagination. Mr. Briggs, the leak must be plugged.
Naturally, General.
Have you any other information?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Briggs?
Yes, Admiral?
Who is this Mr. Christopher?
Oh, I wish I knew, sir. I wish I knew.
And now, events were moving rapidly toward perhaps the most critical moment in the history of the world. East of Asia, west of America, the vultures gathered. Out of the western islands, the Sandman came and left his calling card. December 7th, 1941, and Pearl Harbor. Nations settled down to the deadliest of all wars and silently, secretly, wrestle for the Earth's mightiest secret. Process 97.
In just a few moments, Frigidaire's Hollywood Star Time will bring you the second act of The House on 92nd Street. Starring Lloyd Nolan, William Ice, Sidney Hasso, and Reed Hadley. Frigidaire is the first name you think of in refrigeration, and it's only natural. Down through the years, Frigidaire scientists and engineers have worked constantly to give you a better, easier way to keep food good to eat. That's why cold wall, an original Frigidaire principle, is considered the greatest advancement in food keeping in the past quarter century. For cold wall is an entirely new method of refrigeration that cools through the walls of the refrigerator instead of just a freezer inside the cabinet. But cold wall does far more than that. It provides freezing cold for frozen foods. It keeps food moist, colorful, appetizing. It prevents drying out, preserves precious vitamins, guards against wilting and shrinking. With cold wall, you can even store foods uncovered without their drying out. And you get cold wall only in the Frigidaire refrigerator. Remember this example of engineering skill when you choose your new refrigerator. Remember that 7 million Frigidaires built and sold are the best proof of Frigidaire's dependability, its lasting satisfaction. And remember, you're twice as sure with two great names. For Frigidaire is made only by General Motors. Hollywood Star Time continues now with a radio production of the 20th Century Fox picture, The House on 92nd Street, starring Lloyd Nolan, Sidney Hasso, William Ice, and Reed Hadley. William Ice, who may be seen in the 20th Century Fox Technicolor production, Centennial Summer, with Linda Darnell, Gene Crane, and Cornell Wilde. Now, Act Two of The House on 92nd Street. With the United States at war, the tempo of espionage and counter-espionage increased sharply. And one day an envelope came to the desk of Elsa Gebhardt in a house on 92nd Street. An envelope that had Elsa ringing immediately for William Dietrich.
Bill, the information in this envelope is priceless. It must be radioed to Hamburg at once.
Well, what is it?
It's our great chance, Bill. It must get through. Don't fail us now, Bill Dietrich. Don't fail us.
I'll get it through. Don't? Oh.
You're to have the papers in that envelope back by tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, I've got to put this stuff in code. That takes time.
This information must go out by underground mail by way of Brazil in the car.
Don't you trust the accuracy of my radio transmission?
These are orders, Bill. They come from Mr. Christopher.
Mr. Christopher?
Yes. They were delivered to me less than an hour ago.
Well, I'd better get going.
Bill Dietrich gets up and snuffs out his cigarette in the ashtray. Secretly, he picks up another cigarette butt lying in the tray. A butt with lipstick on it. If Elsa doesn't smoke, then that cigarette butt was left there by the person who brought those important papers. And that person was a woman.
Hurry, Bill, hurry. Hamburg must know what's in that envelope. Hurry!
Dietrich immediately put the envelope on a special plane to Washington. There, a distinguished physicist was rushed to the FBI offices in Washington to study the papers. When he finished, his voice shook as he spoke.
Mr. Friggs, it's appalling, frightening.
Our agent in New York said it was urgent.
These papers contain data on our share of Process 97, details of experiments we made barely 2 days ago.
I do. I see. But look, we've got to get those papers back to New York tonight to be radioed on to Hamburg. Is it possible to alter certain details quickly, you know, so as to throw the Germans off the track?
Yes, of course it is.
Oh,
I'll do it now.
I'll order a special plane to stand by. Cameron. Oh, look, I want a complete motion picture surveillance of everyone who leaves Central Laboratory where Process 97 is being worked out. Photograph them leaving the grounds and photograph them on their arrival home or wherever they go after they leave the laboratory. Uh-huh. Only a privileged few are allowed to leave the lab at all, so your job won't be too hard. Go to it, boys.
The lipstick on the cigarette stub that Dietrich had picked up in Elsa's office was analyzed. The brand determined to be one handled by 82 beauty shops in New York. Every beauty shop worker known to have an FBI record was investigated until the hunt narrowed down to one woman, Louise Bodger.
Louise Bodger finally broke down when she saw that we had all the facts against her. We had a photograph of a certain man leaving the laboratory and later entering her house. We told her his name, Charles Ogden Roper. We confronted her with her record as a German agent. She admitted that Roper had given her the typed detail sheets of Process 97 and that she would put them in a specially designated book, Spencer's First Principles, a rarely called for volume on the shelves of Lang's bookstore on Madison Avenue. There, someone picked them up. And that someone, we all hopefully agreed, would have to be Mr. Christopher. But how did Roper get the information out of the laboratory? A radio message from Hamburg gave us the crowbar for prying the truth out of Roper.
Why have I been called here from the laboratory? Is there something wrong?
Mr. Roper, look at these photostats.
Yes?
They're photostats of a typewritten sheet containing data on Process 97. Now, soon after we intercepted this paper, $5,000 was paid into your bank account.
Oh, that was from some securities I sold.
Isn't it true, Mr. Roper, that in your earlier days you were a vaudeville performer?
But that's no disgrace.
You performed amazing feats of memory, didn't you?
Well, I don't see what all this has to do with me today.
Last night, our radio picked up a message from Hamburg, Germany. It says, Konrad Arnold will liquidate Gedächtniskünstler on orders from Mr. Christopher.
Liquidate? Oh, they wouldn't.
The technical concern. A memory audit. Am I correct, Roper?
They'd murder me.
Yes. You were the next on their list as soon as you completed your job.
They planned all along to kill me.
Now then, when did you deliver your last piece of information?
This morning, on my way to work.
Lang's bookshop? In Spencer's First Sensible?
Yes.
And what was it you delivered?
Why, I...
What was it, Roper?
I gave them the latest data on our final experiment, Process 97.
When Inspector Briggs reached Lang's bookstore, it was too late. Someone, a man, had already picked up Spencer's First Principles with the data hidden among its pages and had delivered it to the house on 92nd Street.
Johanna, you and Conrad take this envelope to the radio station at once.
Bill Dietrich there.
Yes, he's there. Stay there while he puts the letter into code. Make sure he sends it.
He will send it.
Then bring it back to be sent by mail to Hamburg.
Has the confirmation on Dietrich come through from Hamburg yet?
No, it hasn't. The clipper was delayed. But we expect it any time now.
We take this chance on Dietrich.
There's nothing else we can do. He's still our fastest channel to Hamburg.
Let's go.
Yes? Just a minute. Oh. Come in, Max. What is it?
I just saw the courier from the clipper. Gave me a letter for you.
Give it to me. It's a confirmation on Bill Dietrich.
She does not open the letter. Instead, she takes a bottle of chemicals from a shelf, dips a brush into the bottle, and paints the solution over the postage stamp. The color fades. It vanishes. On the decolorized stamp is a message written in German.
William Dietrich, the Zivish performance. Yes, that's all right.
Es nicht erlaubt, mit den Ihnen bekannten Agenten in the room zu kommen. He's forbidden to contact any agents known to you. He's forbidden. He lies. His credentials are false. Max, come here, please.
Yes, Elsa.
Go to the radio station. Get him. Bring him here at once. Go.
Max, what do you want?
What's this about?
Elsa don't want Bill to send that message.
Why not?
What's up, Max?
A guy brought a message from Hamburg.
About him?
Yeah. Elsa wants to see him.
I knew it. He's no good. I knew it.
Oh, wait a minute, all of you.
Shut up, Dietrich. Get going.
In a projection room at the offices of the FBI in New York, motion pictures are being run. Pictures of customers leaving Lang's bookstore, then arriving at their destination.
Now, see there, Inspector Briggs?
Mm-hmm.
There's a man coming out of Lang's bookstore at 10:17 a.m.
Yes. A little too elegantly dressed, I'd say.
Yes. Now, wait a minute for the picture to change. There. See?
Yes, going into the house on 92nd Street.
Yes, sir. It's the same person.
He picked up the book at Lang's bookstore and brought it to Elsa Gebhardt. He's the source of information and orders. That's Mr. Christopher. All right, round up the men. We're going to bring in Christopher.
Bill, wake up. Talk. Talk.
Maybe you gave him too much of the hypodermic, Elsa.
No, it's the polymer. It'll make him talk. It'll make him tell the truth.
Here, let me have another crack at
him. No, he's no good to us this way.
Bill, what is the range of your radio?
The coils on it were only 2.5 meters, weren't they?
Bill, the range of your radio.
30 miles.
Now he's talking. And someone relays your messages to Hamburg?
Yes.
Who? The FBI, isn't it? Bill.
Tell us who operates the relay to Hamburg or I'll knock him.
Who's that?
I'll answer. It's from the lobby downstairs. Yes?
This is the FBI. The department is surrounded. We'll give you exactly 1 minute. Women come out first. Men will follow. Hands over the head.
The FBI is one of them. Listen closely. We have less than a minute. We have the final data we've been working to get. Nothing matters except to get this information through to Hamburg. Do you hear? Nothing. I've got to get out of here, and you've got to cover for me. Delay them all you can. Shoot the first man who tries to get in here. Remember, the first man who comes in, shoot. There's this hacker. You've had her.
You'll find out, won't they? Oh.
Six more seconds, and we'll have to gas them out. Three, two, one. Let them have it.
Go in and get them, boys. Follow me.
Up on the third floor back, a window opens and a slender man climbs out on the fire escape. His clothes, the almost too elegant dress of the man who picked up the book at Lang's bookstore, the elusive Mr. Christopher. His way to the ground is blocked by two FBI men coming up the ladder. The young man backs into the house again, gropes across the bedroom, opens the door into Elsa's office, reeking with tear gas. Little Dietrich is on the floor. Johanna, Max, Conrad choking, obeying orders. And Conrad, seeing the man enter the room, remembers Elsa's orders to shoot.
Conrad,
look! Elsa! You shot Elsa!
Elsa?
Yes, Elsa! You've killed her!
All right, I'll be up with your hands.
You're all through. Put him up.
Elsa.
All right, you take them, boys. I'll get Dietrich out. He's done a good job.
From the body of Nazi espionage agent Elsa Gebhardt, alias Mr. Christopher, the FBI recovered the data stolen from Process 97, part of an invention of the United States which remained a secret until Monday morning, August 6, 1945, when the Japanese city of Hiroshima dissolved in smoke and a flash of flame, and the atomic age began. The Federal Bureau of Investigation remains in war and in peace the implacable foe of all enemies of the United States.